Well, whether you swear by grilled onions and mustard on your hot dog, or you can't live without a dog with peppers or other fixings on a poppy seed bun, kind of the rare person who doesn't enjoy a tasty hot dog. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We Americans eat over 150 million hot dogs this week alone. We will do that for the 4th of July holiday. So, what better time to talk about hot dogs than with right now with Bruce Craig. Bruce is a culinary historian and the author of Man Bites Dog, Hot Dog Culture in America. And Bruce, what a pleasure to have you with us today. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
I'm telling you, I really enjoy your book. And I'm sure we're going to get lots of calls today as we poll our listeners on what are the favorite hot dog toppings, and is there a regional dog that you like? As you listen to the show, I hope you'll join us as I visit with Bruce and bring in your own questions and comments and opinions on the hot dog. And first, what possessed you to do a hot dog book?
Well, I began working on this subject 25 years ago, but not continuously, off and on. It's sort of an accident to what I was doing on other culinary history things. And I quickly realized that it's so central to American culture, popular culture in particular, that that it's a way to explain a lot of what I think America is and the ideas that we have. So that's the endless fascination of these things.
With the 4th of July, you know, just a couple days away now, this is prime hot dog season. How did hot dogs come to be associated with summer, the grilling out, and especially baseball?
Well, for two reasons, maybe three. Two is history, and that is, you think hot dogs are probably the first prepackaged prepared food that was sold publicly as a street food. It's a street food, and if you think about it, it's already in a package. You don't have to dish it out. And it's already cooked in the factory, and all you need to do is heat it up, put it in a bun, and put mustard on it, as it was originally sold. So, and Americans eat sandwiches like crazy, and they have since the 19th century, because Americans like to eat on the go, running, eat fast, and so the hot dog fit that bill perfectly in the late 19th century. And the places they were served were at the new rising arenas of public entertainment, and that would be boardwalks like Coney Island, you know, in the 1870s,
yeah.
and Atlantic City, and the same on both coasts and all around the country, and at the new, hot, exciting, unbelievably swiftly played sport, baseball. Now, I know everybody laughs when I say that about baseball, but if you read descriptions in the 1890s about baseball, everybody thought it was unbelievable. They couldn't believe it was such a fast game, especially Brits, who were used to three-day cricket matches. and they could be eaten quickly, and baseball was played really fast. Played an hour and a half would be a ball game in the dead ball era. So those are some of the reasons. And then the next major reason is marketing. And hot dog companies meat companies have been very good at marketing to children. And when you market to children, you stress families and cookouts. And so those are two of the main reasons why.
And they're great reasons. We have some great hot dogs here in Wisconsin and a pretty good history of hot dog and hot dog production in this state, I think maybe in part because of our a lot of German heritage here.
Yes, absolutely. That's part of it. Of course, you're more known for bratwurst,
right?
But they're closely related products, really. So it's part of that, and also you have a lot of cattle in Wisconsin. You used to have a lot more than you do now.
Right.
I'm talking about dairy cattle, of course, right. But also beef cattle, because you needed bulls to fertilize the dairy cows, and now they do it artificially, so there are fewer. But nevertheless, that's where the history comes from, in Wisconsin.
Bruce Craig, our guest today, having some fun with him talking about hot dogs and his book, Man Bites Dog, Hot Dog Culture in America. I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments. Are you a hot dog aficionado? Have a favorite hot dog topping or hot dog that you like to eat? I hope you'll join in. Maybe you've got a question about hot dogs and what goes into them. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And we already have some people posting up there. Marcia's saying crumbled bacon, peppers, sport peppers, caramelized onions, sweet baby rays, chipotle honey barbecue sauce, and a snappy skin dog, all on a pretzel bun. Heaven! What do you think?
That sounds like a good number of upscale hot dog stands that you're finding springing up around the country now. Quite different from your traditional hot dog stand, but the chefs have got into it and are doing this kind of thing. I ate a really terrific one with caramelized, with wasabi mayonnaise. Oh. It was real wasabi in Denver, Colorado, called Biker Jim's. And caramelized apple slices and onions, and it was just great.
Oh. Yeah, that must have been one of the really fun parts about putting this book together, all the research.
Yeah, that's why I don't eat all that many hot dogs now. Really.
Oh, and the lovely photograph. I really, really enjoying the photos in your book.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Patty Carroll is a very famous photographic artist, and she displays all over the world. But she has this funky sense of American culture. For example, one of her earlier books is Elvis Impersonators, to give you some idea of what interests her. So hot dog stands, which are so interesting because they're pieces of folk art, vernacular art, and they tell a lot about it. And there's a lot of description in the book around the photographs. And Patty and I have been friends for about 20 years, and we've been planning to do this book for all these years because her photos, which she took, entirely separate from what I was doing, when we became friendly, we met, and her photographs seemed to me illustrate just the things I was talking about and for her vice versa. So I hope they match.
It was a perfect marriage of the photos and the copy, for sure.
Thank you. The photos are just great, and they're pieces of art in and of themselves.
You talk about the history of the hot dog is really kind of the history of immigration in the U.S.
It is. If you think about the history of what the hot dog is, it's a sausage, right?
Yep.
And although people like to differentiate or think there's a difference between sausage and hot dogs, there is not. It's a type of sausage. They descend from German sausages, brought by all the Germans who came to America, after 1848, millions. And two kinds of sausage have their names attached to what we later call hot dogs, and those are Frankfurters, mm-hmm. supposedly from Frankfurt, but not exactly, and Vienna, hence Wieners, right, from Vienna.
Yep.
And those became popular on the streets, say, and a few other varieties in America because Germans served sausages. So it's an immigrant food to begin with. And then successive waves of immigrants took up the hot dog business and added their ethnic flavor to it. For example, we have all beef hot dogs, especially in cities like New York and Chicago and others. They're prized as all beef. In fact, even Oscar Mayer is now making upscale all-beef hot dogs, their premium label.
Yep.
That's how important that segment of the market is. And that was done by Jews, East European Jews who came, in the beginning around 1890, a little before that, into 1920, because they were very poor. They came from the shtetls of East Europe, and they took up this business. Like a lot of immigrants, you start at the bottom, and that's vending on the streets. And so hot dogs. And they became all beef for obvious reasons. And then Greeks and Italians. Greeks in particular have a very strong influence in the American fast food and street food business. And they opened up hot dog stands all around the country and put various kinds of sauces on it, which are kind of related to the Greek moussaka sauce. Anybody who knows is eating that will know that kind of flavoring.
Yeah.
And they have different names in different parts of the country. Sometimes they're called Coney's. Sometimes they're called Texas, as in New Jersey. But it's the same kind of thing. And then Italians doing the same. There are Italian hot dogs in New Jersey. And then, and vice versa. If you go to the streets of New York now, the main vendors on the streets are now Southeast Asians, South Asians, sorry, mainly Bangladeshis and people from the Middle East. And they've replaced, if you think, in years past, right, old New York, mm-hmm. when they were Germans, Jews, Greeks, Italians. Now they're Bangladeshis. It's really interesting. So ethnicity is really important.
Really important. We are talking with Bruce Craig about his book, Man Bites Dog, Hot Dog Culture in America. Let's take some phone calls now. If you'd like to join in, the number, we've got an open line, get you on fairly quickly here at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Do you have a favorite hot dog? Do you have a question about hot dogs? Give us a call. Let's turn to Chris in Mississippi. Chris, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hey.
And what's on your mind?
I'm traveling through Wisconsin, and I listen to your show, and I want to tell you that I really appreciate what you're doing on your show.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And we have Red Hot down in the Deep South.
Yes,
and,
I know.
It's like a sausage, but there's some that are hot and some that are mild. I didn't know if they had them in the Midwest or if that's just a regional thing.
No, we do. The reason is we have such a large African-American population in the north, particularly in Chicago, from Mississippi, that arriving in the 1950s especially. And they brought links, hot links with them, and hot sausage, yeah, which you can get up there. And many are made in Mississippi, by the way.
I didn't know that. Is that considered a hot dog, or how do they consider those?
Yeah, those are considered more like sausages. They're not usually served as hot dogs. I'll tell you, there is a really interesting variation in Connecticut. They're called Dixie Red Hots. And for a reason nobody knows, they're along Route 15, you know, the interstate, going north through Hartford and such. And they're found in stands along that route, probably brought by truckers from the south. But they're made in the Bronx, New York, by a company called Flamingo, an Italian sausage company. Really. But they're called Dixie Red Hots, and they're very much like the ones you find in Mississippi.
Ah, uh-huh. There you go.
It's really strange. The hot dog culture is really interesting.
Chris, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. I'm going to take some more phone calls here. Bruce Craig, our guest. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer, as we talk hot dogs here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up at 11:45, we're going to be talking with Mary Bergen, a Madison-based travel writer who specializes in Wisconsin and Midwest destinations, and we'll be talking with her about 4th of July weekend and other summer getaways. So that's coming up at 11:45. Right now, Bruce Craig talks with us about his book. It's titled Man Bites Dog, Hot Dog Culture in America. Really enjoying reading it, and I think you will as well. You have a question about hot dogs or a comment you want to weigh in? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. We'd love to hear from you. And Barb in Rogers Park, Illinois, up next. Hi, Barb. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
And what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, I think really the reason why Chicago really just has the best hot dogs is because of the different ethnicities and diversity of the city. And I just think it's great.
Well, what do you think? And Judith Sears Poisson, my producer, is from Chicago, and she's shaking her head yes, or nodding yes, I should say. Chicago hot dogs are the best. Bruce, why are they so good? Oh, we I think we lost him. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. But we lost Bruce. We lost Bruce here. So I tell you what, we'll get him back. We'll get Bruce back here in just a second.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Chicago hot dogs, the best hot dogs? I don't know. We will see what Craig says about it, or Bruce Craig says about it when we get him back here. We lost him temporarily and we'll have him back. Once again, let me remind you, Mary Bergen coming up at 11:45 to talk about other summer getaways. In the meantime, let's think about hot dogs and what your favorite hot dog might be. Let's see if we can get him on here now. We got him on?
I'm on.
Ah, we got you on. Okay.
Yeah.
You're
back. Mary Bergen's a friend of mine, so ask her what she thinks the best hot dog places are.
All right, good. I will do that.
I want to know what she says.
Well, I tell you what, I will do that. We had a caller from Chicago just a minute ago who said she thinks that, well, the Chicago hot dogs are the best hot dogs in her opinion, and she thinks it's because of the different, the sort of the melting pot that we have in Chicago.
Well, I agree. And for that reason, she's talking about historical reasons. But,
right.
I think, well, that's true, but I think also in terms of flavor, culinary reasons, which I like a lot, and the reason is this, a fully loaded Chicago hot dog, I mean, if I may play gastronome here for a minute, what's on it is, as people probably know, mustard, chopped onions, thin slices of tomato, bright green relish, neon green relish, if you like, thin slices of kosher dill pickle, that's sour pickle, and pickled mildly hot peppers, and if you want celery salt. But that combination of textures and flavors, and think about what the flavors are. They are sweet, sour, hot from the peppers, and salty, which is exactly the flavor profile of Southeast Asian food, which is very popular now.
Yeah.
Got some really good Southeast Asian restaurants in Madison, I know. And but the textures are crunchy and also merge with the, I hope, a natural casing hot dog with snap in it, which is fat and salty and meaty. And it's just the perfect culinary combination, it seems to me, of freshness and savoriness. So that's why I like Chicago hot dogs best.
Oh, you know, I'm just drooling here as you're making that description. I'm telling you, I'm ready for one right now.
Oh, then you have to come to my hot dog thing. which I don't have.
Well, what is it about? Now, if you were spotted or if you were in Chicago and asked, you got a hot dog and say, could I have some ketchup for that?
There, never.
They would slap your hand or whatever.
Yeah, well, I tell people who are foreigners to Chicago, like we call them foreigners, that we have, you know, the border patrol that that we have in Mexico. Well, we have one in Chicago. It's called the ketchup control. You can't come in if you eat ketchup. Well, that ketchup was never eaten in Chicago in the old days, and I'm talking about in throughout the 20th century. With hot dogs, it just didn't catch on, and then it became a marketing tool for Vienna Beef and others, and so they promoted this greatly, which is a good thing. The Chicago hot dog I just described to you, right,
with
the perfect combination. If you put ketchup on it, it would destroy the whole thing because it's so sweet and so vinegary. Which, you know, itself is pretty interesting, but it would just destroy the whole balance. And people in the hot dog world, professionals, often say that ketchup is for kids' hot dogs, and kids will eat ketchup on hot dogs. So I can tell you one story about this. There's a very famous stand in Chicago called Gene and Jude's, and anybody from Chicago will know it, and up in Madison, because we have you know, plenty of people who have been down here. It's on River Road on the way to O'Hare Airport. And it's the highest grossing hot dog stand in Chicago, and they serve very plain hot dogs, just hot dogs and I think tacos or tamales. That's it. And wonderful French fries. And they never serve ketchup on their hot dog. And right next door to a McDonald's. So people going to Gene and Jude's would slip next door to the McDonald's and take those packages of ketchup, not for their hot dogs, but for their French fries. And McDonald's got so mad that they began charging for the packets of ketchup.
that's a great story.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Well, we got Kay in Mendota Heights waiting on, has been waiting a little bit. Kay, thank you for waiting. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say I used to live in Switzerland, and their national sausage, it tastes just like a hot dog, but it's shorter, a little shorter, and it's really thick. So
yeah.
I'm all for a thicker hot dog.
Yeah, I've been in Switzerland, and they are, and they're more mildly flavored, more like a Viennese hot dog, actually. But sausages. But I don't have to tell you. You know what they are. I agree with you. I like a larger diameter hot dog myself, and you know, you can get them in some parts of the country. It's the native style in. And you can certainly get them if you order, if a stand offers quarter pounders, you know, 4 to a pound, that's a really thick, and in New York that would be called a knackwurst, not spelled with a K, but with an N, knackwurst.
Oh, okay, A night sausage, that's called a night sausage.
If you live in Switzerland, you know, it's part of their, absolutely part of their culture, their food culture.
Yeah,
absolutely, yeah.
Okay,
thank you.
Thanks, Kay. David and Ripon, your turn. Hi, David.
Hi, how you doing?
Great, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I used to live in Rochester, New York, and years ago they had two kinds of hot dogs. When you went and ordered a hot dog, you could order either red hots or white hots.
Right.
And they served them differently from most places. They split them and grilled them. Didn't split them all the way through, but so that they lay down flat and grilled them. And I've never seen that anywhere else. I've never seen the choice of reds and whites, and I've never seen them served that way anywhere else.
Well, there are white hots are a specialty of Upper New York State, from Rochester up to Buffalo, and you know, around Lake Erie and such. And they're terrific. It descends from a Weisswurst, you know, a certain kind of.
Yeah,
one of the many kinds of German sausage. The red hots are more like a traditional hot dog, and there are major companies there. Like if you're in Rochester, Zweigel or Salins, you know, up in Buffalo, and these are big companies who sell all over the place, and they're actually quite good. But grilling, some places will. There are other places which do split them and grill them, but mostly. Around the country, it'll be a larger diameter hot dog, which they just grill on. And they won't split them. So that's unusual there. I have to say, there's a stand in Buffalo, which you've probably been to, called Ted's, which is they serve white hots with a horseradish sauce, which is just fabulous.
Yeah.
And it's also in Rochester. The stands, they'll serve it down there, too. Which is just great.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks, David. Oh, man, you're right. Greg in Waukesha, hello.
Hi, Larry and Bruce. I love it, Larry, that you do so many segments about food. This is, it's right before lunch, though, so it's so tempting. Anyway, I'm curious from Bruce, what is the evolution of the corn dog, because those are my favorite kinds of hot dogs, and I know hot dog purists might say that I am not a real lover of the hot dog if you have to put cornmeal, you know, all over it, but I'm just curious what's the evolution of the corn dog.
All right.
sure. The most famous hot corn dogs in the Midwest are from Springfield, Illinois. They're called Cozy Dogs. And if you go to the Illinois State Fair, there are stands galore. You can't walk out of there without smelling like grease from frying them. And it's often said that they invented them in 1947, which is, and even they say it's not true. It's a southern dish. It's basically a hush puppy with a hot dog in it. So there's a long southern tradition of frying everything, including pies, you know, like southern fried pies. And hush puppies are just one of them with the sausage in it. Dates, the earliest molds I've seen for them date to the early 1920s. So I'm guessing that they're older than that, though I just haven't found any evidence for an earlier date than that. So say 1920s. And that's, there are state fairs everywhere, and that's probably when corn dogs entered the state fair food repertoire. So we're in almost any, not just Illinois, but almost any state fair anywhere, you'll find corn dogs. Mm. So it's an interesting history.
Yeah, it is. Thanks, Greg. Thank you for calling. Michael in La Crosse. Hi, thank you for calling.
Good morning, Larry. Thank you for bringing on an expert on what I absolutely love are Chicago-style hot dogs, but I absolutely despise mustard.
Oh!
And I'm sorry. When I rode the train from Union Station out the Mund Line every day, I got the looks when I put ketchup on it.
I was totally
discriminated against.
Yeah, well, that's why you're no longer in Illinois.
I was no longer exiled there. I absolutely convinced a couple of vendors here to make an authentic Chicago-style hot dog, and they did convert their menus such that they were doing that, including the steam buns and everything else.
Oh, great.
So I absolutely love them here. But that's the one variation, and I'm sorry.
Well, this happens. I have a brother who hates onions. He can't stand onions. So when I cook for him, when we visit, I don't let him see me put the onions in, and and he eats them. So, you know, if you don't see it, you might you might eat it.
Injected into the middle.
like cheese-injected hot dogs, yeah.
Oh, Bruce Craig, our guest. And, Bruce, you're going to be judging an event. And Michael, this is probably not an event you're going to attend, but from La Crosse, but the National Mustard Museum in Middleton has an event that you're going to be judging. What's going on there?
Yes, it's on National Mustard Day. That's August 3rd. There's a contest, a hot dog toppings contest, and people can enter it by going to the National Mustard Museum website, have a look at the rules, and send in a recipe, and then we'll be judging them. And we're giving away books, this book and a previous book that I wrote on history of hot dogs, and so we invite everybody to enter the contest, and if not, come to the National Mustard Museum, which is quite close by in Middleton, you know, right
yes.
near you. And come on over and you can do some, you'll be tasting hot dogs. There are plenty of them. And give us your opinions. It should be a really glorious day.
Oh, right. And it's August 3rd?
August 3rd, right. Go to their website and have a look, National Mustard Museum.
We'll actually post a link up on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. And so people know just how to get there. That's August 3rd. Oh, that well. Yeah, I want to try. We've got to try and.
Yeah, you have to come over.
I would love to do that.
Well, I'm coming up the day before, so I can go to the Madison Farmers Market, my all-time favorite farmers market in the country.
Oh, it is absolutely phenomenal. We are so lucky. We are blessed. That's
you
are. For sure.
You are.
Janelle in Marshfield, what's on your mind? Hi.
Hi. How are you, Larry?
Great.
There, Chicago-style hot dogs are wonderful, but there's this little meat market up in northeastern lower Michigan on the shores of Lake Huron. It's called Plas Meat Market. It's been in business for about 125 years and brought down generations. Walking into it is like walking into stepping back in time. They have the natural casing hot dogs that snap, but it's reminiscent of days gone by, and it's partially the ambience of going in there, walking down to the beach, and It's phenomenal. Phenomenal.
I'm with you. Those actually, the best hot dogs in the country are usually made by local butchers, those who are left, and who know the art of sausage making, because it is an art, you know. And and in food, ambiance is everything, really. And it forms a taste memory that you have that adds to what you're actually eating. So that's a wonderful experience. What's the name of the place?
It's called Flask Meat Market.
How would you spell that?
The sons now that are running it, they have this gigantic pink, it's bright pink, paper mache pig that's on the awning in front of the meat market. It's like something out of a movie.
How would you spell it?
They're filming something there because it's phenomenal.
How would you spell it? Because I wasn't getting the name. How would you spell the name of the market?
It's called P-L-A-T-H.
Plath. Yep. Okay. All right. Because I wasn't hearing.
Free advertising for them, I guess.
Well, tell them you did this, and they should give you free sausage.
You should get a free hot dog out of them. for sure,
yeah,
Janelle.
Yeah, that's right. You should.
Oh, you should.
You should. Yeah.
I'm heading to Michigan right now. I'm just a couple hours from Chicago. So.
Well, tell them you just broadcast over the entire state of Wisconsin and all states surrounding.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh, man. Tom in Appleton, your turn. Hi.
Hello. Say, what is the difference between a wiener and a hot dog?
Exactly the same. And if you look at the USDA site, U.S. Department of Agriculture site, it tells you that hot dogs, wieners, and frankfurters are used interchangeably.
Oh.
But in common usage, you know, everyday vernacular usage, wiener usually means a pork-based sausage, and a frankfurter usually a beef-based sausage. In Germany, it's exactly the reverse. but in America, that's the way it is. No, seriously, and I think it's because of Oscar Mayer and their pork, you know, calling themselves wieners, which goes back to their origins as a company back in the 1870s. So I think that's why that is. But the USDA says there's no difference.
All right, yeah.
All right, thanks, Tom. Thank you for calling. And Jim and Monona. Let's see here if I can get you on. Hi, Jim. Jim, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. What's your question?
My question is it true that the typical hot dog is 40% fat?
No, it's about 30.
Not a lot of difference.
Yeah. No, there are many lower fat ones now. They're cutting back on fat, so they go from about 17 to 33. Something like that. You can't have a sausage without fat in it. It's just not a sausage.
No.
And if you ever make sausage at home and try not putting fat in, you know, it just doesn't work. It's not. It's too dry.
You have. So. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You have one of the kind of fun things about your book is you've got so many great recipes for hot dogs in one of the last chapters.
Yeah, and a couple of them come from Wisconsin companies. Whom I know, and one of them is Gilbert Sausage, a small sausage company, which is you know, fairly new, and another one comes from Clement, which you all know, in Milwaukee. So there are Wisconsin connections there. You can do anything with a hot dog, honestly. You can throw it in anything, and this is so around the world. In the Philippines, there was was under Spanish rule for 400 years or so, and. They used a Spanish sausage called a longaniza in their pancits, and a pancit is a noodle dish, a thin noodle dish. And now, with Americans, they use hot dogs in them, and almost many recipes have American hot dogs in them. So that's just one example internationally, but, you know, you can use them everywhere.
And Deborah in Brown Deer, hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, I used to live in the UP. Well, I'm from the UP, and we had a great hot dog there called Volworth, V-O-L-L-W-O-R-T-H. And it was, I've never tasted a grilled hot dog till I left my hometown. And they were always boiled. We'd go to my dad's company picnic, and they were boiled, you know, in a huge, huge pot. And they were great. And now I used to eat Ostermeyer's, and I lived in New York City, and I loved Nathan's. I just loved them.
Yeah.
But now any package, and I love Usinger's. I have to shout out for Usinger's. But every single hot dog I try is so salty, I don't know what to do. I mean, would boiling make a difference?
No. Well, if they're natural casing, the casing is going to protect the salt. You have to have salt in them for as a preservative, and so it's going to be 1.5 to 2% salt in any hot dog. But just think, you're eating a 2-ounce hot dog. It's not a lot of salt. So it might be other things that you add to it that are salty.
Oh, just mustard and raw onions.
Mm.
Well, mustard, if you look at prepared mustards, they have salt in them. So I also am quite sensitive to, despite having eaten many hot dogs, the salt. So I understand what you're saying exactly. Sausages just have to have salt in them. I'm sorry. It's just the nature of the beast.
Do you have like a favorite brand bakery to use for buns?
Which bakery to use for buns, did you say?
Well, I'm asking you, yes.
Do you have a favorite bun, type of bun?
I do, actually, but they're not in Chicago. I mean, they're different kinds in different parts of the country. So Ambrosio in Philadelphia is my favorite. And that's more of and also the onion rolls in Los Angeles. And that's something between a hot dog bun, soft hot dog bun, and a baguette. So they're kind of crustier on the outside. I really like those better. And to tell you the truth, the ones in France, which are literally baguettes with a hole in them, and the hot dog stuck in that hole, it's nothing like French bread, honest to God.
You're right about that.
I have to think about Usinger. When I do hot dog tastings, you know, we do cuttings.
Yeah.
Everybody always picks Usinger number one.
Is that right? Well,
yeah,
they're good.
And that's why Oscar is making these upscale hot dogs themselves, you know, like all beef ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, Usinger's are great.
Well, you're great, too. This has been a lot of fun, Bruce. I'm telling you.
Thank you.
Your book is great fun, and it was a delight to have you with us today. And I hope you sell a whole bunch of copies so you can buy a lot of hot dogs.
Well, thank you. There's a paperback version coming out next spring, which will be a trade paperback and cheaper than this one. But this one's terrific for presentations.
Yeah, it's great. And do you have a website on it?
Let me give it to you. And we have lots more pictures in there. Patty's wonderful stuff. And it's this, www.manbitesdogbook.com.
Manbitesdogbook.com.
Yeah, and if people have comments, please, you can put comments on it, and we're very happy to hear from people. It's great. But I hope to see all of your listeners at the Mustard Museum on August 3rd.
I'm going to make sure. I'm do my best to be there. Thank you so much, Bruce.
Thank you. It'd be a pleasure to meet you, really.
All right. Bruce Craig, a culinary historian and the author of Man Bites Dog, Hot Dog Culture in America. What fun was that, huh? I'll be honest, I'm ready to run right out right now and have a hot dog for lunch. But that's going to have to wait. I don't want to miss what's coming up next. Of course, a friend of Bruce Craig's, as a matter of fact, Mary Bergen, is going to be joining us. He asked me, he said, be sure to ask Mary what's her favorite hot dog. And we'll probably ask her that. She's a travel writer. And, of course, we're going to talk about fun things to do in this coming 4th of July weekend. Find out, what are you doing for the 4th of July weekend? What are you planning for the rest of the summer? We'll talk about getaways with Mary Bergen next year on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.